This episode of Mind Your Business, brought to you by City National Bank of Florida, was recorded at its headquarters in Coral Gables, Florida. We caught up with many executives here at the bank talking about the year ahead, 2026. Enjoy. Now, this interview is a reunion of sorts. I'm catching up with Sam Francois, the Chief Marketing Officer at City National Bank of Florida, but from Brooklyn.
B41,
Sam.
B41, two train.
That's right, three two train. And the five.
Let's go.
Sam,
yes,
how
sir.
Are you?
I'm great. Terrific. Right. I'm great. I'm talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to Mind Your Business.
Absolutely.
A special thank you to Mike McIntyre for getting us together.
Yeah.
You recently joined City National Bank of Florida.
Uh-huh.
I did some research.
Okay.
You've been at some pretty impressive companies out there. Straight up question. What attracted you to City National Bank?
City National is an impressive company in and of itself. It's has a storied history, over 80 years of being in a prestigious market, working with great clients and doing big things. And so when I was approached about this role, one of the first things I thought about was, okay, this could be the role of a lifetime for me, and I can make a big impact. And so, you think about it, but then after all of the mulling over and a little bit of one or two sleepless nights, you say, okay, this is for me. This is something that I think I can wrap my arms around. And so far, it's been absolutely terrific. The people here have been great.
Now, coming in with a fresh set of eyes, what stood out about the banks? I'm drilling down from the previous question. The bank's culture, the approach to clients, what stood out?
What stood out was the fact that the bank you've got a lot of high-performing people here, people that also care, people that also want to make a difference in the various areas that they work in, whether it's residential, whether it's mortgage, whether it's commercial, small business. They take an approach where the business is their own, and they start making decisions and start thinking about, what would I do if it was me? I think it's something that you find not often in a lot of banks, where the banks approach you as if you're just a customer or a client. But what I've noticed about the folks at City National, they know their audience. They say, what would I do if I were in this role? And so I think that that's one of the things that stood apart and made the decision easy, but also keeps City National significantly different from others in this arena. So I think that there are a confluence of things. There's a bunch of things, but that's one of the major ones, is that it's not just a saying that relationships are important. They put themselves in the role of the customer, of the client, and they really put that first.
Now, as Chief Marketing Officer, and you're sitting in corporate headquarters, but at the same time, really to follow through what you just discussed, which is so important, let's talk about relationships in the world of banking. Today people are on their smartphones, they're doing banking on their computers. Do relationships, I don't want to sound like a stupid question, but do relationships really matter?
Relationships matter more now than ever, primarily because of what you just mentioned. You can conduct business on a phone. You can check your balances. You can send money at the speed of light over your phone, right? But who are you sending that money to, who is the person handling that transaction in the background? All of those things really matter. And, there's all this talk about digital banks and they have their place, right? But I think that when you think about walking into a banking center and knowing the banker, and the banker knowing your kids, and the banker knowing exactly, life events that are coming up, that's something that you can't replicate with a phone. And I think that we try to communicate that in our marketing and a lot of the things that we say. But I think that our bankers are some of the best marketers because of the service, because of what they do, how they show their investment in the communities and that they operate in and the communities that they serve. Now, we have a lot of banking centers in South Florida. We have two in Orlando, one opening up, and you know we're looking at expanding in other areas as well. But I think that one of the reasons why you see us opening banking centers is because we really want to be rooted in this in our communities. And so that separates us. That's a differentiator versus other banks that are essentially, and you hear that this often, that you know that are essentially closing up shop and going primarily digital. We think that that's an advantage for us.
Now, I can't help but ask, you know, you've been out there and you've been with some very impressive companies. What are some things out there that now that you're on the, you know, as the chief marketing officer at a major bank here in South Florida, what are some aspects that you've seen in your career that you're saying, I see here at the bank, and you know what? Every business out there could benefit from these few tips.
Yep.
That's I'm asking from from the bank, but also from your life experience. Some tips that whether it's a business of one or a business of many, they can benefit from this advice.
Well, I'll go a step further with you. You mentioned we're a top bank in South Florida. We're a top 100 bank in the country. Okay, and so you know to be a top 100 bank in the country, it means that you're doing something right, obviously, right? But take it a step further from there, right? How are you able to be a top 100 bank, but also have interpersonal relationships, interpersonal communications, you know, making sure that you're at the pulse, you're very close to your customers? I think that, that again, that's something that is strong within us, especially the more you grow. It, oftentimes you find that you lose that contact with your customers, right? Now, what I would say, I think about it in terms of marketing. I think, how can I market our size, but also the fact that we're very local, right? If I were to give tips to answer your question directly to somebody who, has a business or who's somebody who's thinking about working with City National, the first thing I would say is, you know, think about the bank that you're with. If you're with a large bank, does the banker know who you are? Does the banker know what's going on in your life events? Does the banker know what your aspirations are? What the next steps are for you? What, you know, are they working collaboratively with you? I think you think about all of those things and you say, if you're answering those questions in a way that's satisfactory, good for you, great. But if it gives you pause for a minute, and if you're saying, maybe, you know, then you need to give us a call. Because at the end of the day, I started out as an entrepreneur and in college, as a matter of fact. That's one of the ways I tried to help pay my way through college. And I had attention to detail on a bunch of different things, where the finances were going, what my break even was. You know, how can I squeeze an extra dime, an extra dollar out of, you know, the businesses, the things that I was working on? Do I have the right partners? Is the bank doing all of the right things? Are they informing me of all of the things that are going on? Are they being protective? Are they thinking about the fraud that's going on out there? You know, we oftentimes don't talk about it, but City National, the way the approach has been, you go on our website, we have all of this material that talks about keeping your account secure, all of the things to be vigilant, how to look out for fraud, some of the warning signs, right? We're partners in this. We think about these things. And so, all of this rolls up into the number one tip. Nobody is going to be more behind your business than you, right? And so you need a partner that's looking out for you in that same way as well, who puts you first and thinks about that. So that's the number one tip. Look out for your business more than anyone else, because nobody else is going to do it. But at the same time, find a partner that thinks along the same lines that you would.
I'm speaking with Sam Francois, Chief Marketing Officer at City National Bank. Before I let you go, again, you've been on the team of many great teams out there. The CEO, George Gonzalez, a legend. What are some of the takeaways from when you joined here at City National Bank that you're like, wow, that's leadership?
You know, I will tell you that I've worked with some great teams, some great people. Everything that has formed my experiences has made me the person that I am today, right? When I met George, what I found remarkable was how engaged he was. When you talk to him, you're the only person in the room. That's absolutely amazing, because he's, as a CEO, he's got 18 million different things going on, but he focuses on you, right? The other thing I found remarkable is his boundless energy. I mean, the guy is a machine, right? From the time you see him in the morning, and sometimes I try to beat him into the office, but he's here before me, to, you know, the end of the day, to whether it's an event with United Way or, you know, a charitable organization or any of these things, he's just always on. And I think that is a testament to the love, the passion that he has for the bank, for its customers, for its team members, making sure that he's looking out in multiple ways to grow the bank, but also grow the businesses that are, you know, essentially associated as clients with the bank. I think that his energy, I used the word boundless before, it's absolutely unbelievable. And I think it's also infectious, because when you see that, he's up at the crack of dawn, sending you a text message, asking a question. When you see that him in the office, you know, early on in the morning, and then you see him also in the evening, you end up saying, you know what, I don't really have an excuse. I mean, you know, like, there's no reason for me to not be engaged at that level. It really does become infectious. And I think that I've gotten the bug. I know the people on my team have gotten the bug, and you know, we're working 24/7, 365 for the cause of our customers, for our clients, but also to really grow and work in these communities that we're serving. So I think that's one of the things that I found absolutely remarkable, and hopefully we continue that.
Sam, thank you very much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
All right, thank you, Yitzhak. It's been great.
And now we're catching up once again with Josh Jordan, Insurance Services Director at City National Bank of Florida. Welcome back to Mind Your Business.
Well, Yitzhak, it's great to be back. You know, the last time I was here, we met in Hollywood.
That's right.
This time we're down in Gables. So I'm expecting next time we'll be in the Keys. Maybe on the balcony overlooking the beach. We're working our way south.
Come on. We're doing it.
We're going to set it up.
We're doing it. We're going to speak to Mike.
All right. It's a date. Right. Okay. We'll make it happen.
Now, for many years, you were servicing the customers on the front lines. And just recently, let's give you a mazel tov.
Oh, thank you.
You are leading the insurance division at City National Bank. Yes. Talk to me. You know, talk to us. Yep. Talk to us about it. What is it? You know, this is a it's a transition and a new world.
Yep.
The insurance world. Yep. You know, please share what's going on.
I mean, it's definitely a new world. But for me, 22, fresh out of college, my father worked at an insurance agency. He had his PhD in finance from NYU. And I often saw him interact with business clients, personal clients, and he had a saying on his wall, and it said, businesses and people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. And that was something that,
very important,
right? That was something
mindset.
That concept, that was always something that kind of stuck with me. And working with business owners for so long, for the last 20 years, you would see that business owners are worried about hiring their employees, the salaries, marketing, doing SEO work, the profitability, basically everything but insurance. And at the end of the day, if insurance is not part of your plan, all it takes is that one accident that you're not thinking about, that one slip and fall, that one employee that maybe screws up, and you can have a business that's on a very strong upwards trajectory just come crashing down because you didn't properly plan. So it's always been something that's very important to me.
So this actually, you know, segues right into an obvious question, and that is many business owners view insurance as an afterthought. You know, what perhaps you could even share, and you did share some ideas, but so of the type of risks out there that really businesses need to be mindful of in order to like make sure that, you know, everything stays steady, even if, God forbid, there's a surprise, an unwanted surprise.
Yeah. And yes, like, unfortunately, we don't have a ton of time to get into every type of risk, right? But the general theme that I see, and you've probably seen in your world, when people think about insurance, they're usually thinking about it in terms of, I need to get a loan. So what's the minimum type of insurance I get? Or I need to, for my cars, what's the state minimum insurance I need to have on my vans to get them out of the road? So in terms of the biggest risk, what I've seen is, so we're in South Florida, and a good example, there's a ton of plumbing companies, air conditioning companies, and a lot of them have 15, 20 vans on the road. Mm-hmm. And you can't go a day in South Florida without seeing something on the news that's very tragic. The traffic here is horrible. There's accidents all the time. And imagine if you're a business owner, you're doing really well, and then you have 20 vans on the road. It's kind of like the law of numbers. Maybe at some point, something is going to happen, and who knows, one of your drivers could end up hitting somebody and broken arm, missing finger, or perhaps even worse. And from a liability perspective, if you as a business owner are always trying to get the cheapest thing and you don't have someone advising you on the potential downfalls of that, one afternoon, one crossing the intersection could derail your business. So I think that the risk there is to not always go and pick for the cheapest and most minimal insurance. That would be my best advice.
Now, here's really an interesting question, and that is, let's say you have a business owner and he's on his game, she's on her game. They understand risks, but they view, you know, a banking relationship as one relationship and an insurance agent as a different relationship. You're bridging that world. How does that, how do you actually present that to business owners?
I'm actually smiling, right? Because that's what I do, right? Being on the business and personal banking side for so long, I saw that for 20 years where you had that insurance professional and the banking professional. And we weren't always on the same page. And one of the biggest moments in a business owner's life or a personal life is obviously obtaining a loan, maybe to buy a commercial building or to buy a primary residence. And I think it's good for maybe me to share an example right now.
Please.
Right now, I can tell you on January 20th, I have a commercial banking loan for about $4 million that's set to close. But because I was working with the banker and the client at the very beginning of the loan, I was introduced and we started working on it. It is a lengthy process obtaining commercial insurance. Most of the time, the deal goes through underwriting, right? You're checking all the boxes. Mm-hmm. And then we're supposed to close in 3 days. And everybody goes, insurance, where's the insurance? And too many deals are delayed. And there's too much stress that normally goes into the insurance piece, especially we're in South Florida. So many different things can be going on. And we're in one of the hardest markets to obtain insurance in a quick fashion. So in this particular example, as of yesterday, January 7th or January 8th, we have the insurance bound for the commercial, the property, and the workers' compensation 2 weeks before closing. So what a relief for the client and for the banker to not have that mad dash towards the closing date. Yeah. So that's something I'm really proud of, and I'm looking to expand that more and more throughout the bank.
Now, perhaps you could share an example where the right insurance package, the right insurance coverage protected a business at at a time that we all don't want to face.
Yeah, and I think an example that sticks out of my head, and again, doing this for 20 years and working with thousands of business owners, was a couple of years ago, we had a client, had a restaurant, right? And at that time, you know, we were not doing insurance, but I knew the client very well for a long time. And, you know, you got grills and ovens and fryers, and sometimes something goes wrong. So there was a short circuit on the fryer, caused a big mess, and thank God nobody was injured, but there was smoke and there was everything all over the property. And the business ended up needing to be closed for 3 months. Now, if he just would have had the bare minimum, of course, his fryer would have been replaced, the insides, the covers, but one of the add-ons or things that a good insurance agent would talk to a business owner about could be business interruption insurance. In this case, thank God he had a good agent, talked it through, and we always talk about spending pennies to protect dollars. So in this particular case, because he had a good agent and the client listened, he was able to get, I think it was $18,000 or $20,000 a month for those 3 months, which allowed him to pay his rent and retain his employees. Because it's bad enough, right? You're trying to fix a mess and
repair your restaurant,
let alone trying to call the landlord.
Without making a dime of earnings during that
right. So that goes back to the earlier point where if you're just, I want the cheapest or I want the less, or you don't have a good advisor advising you, you can find yourself in a bit of a pickle, so to speak.
Josh, we're speaking with Josh Jordan, Insurance Services Director at City National Bank of Florida. Before I let you go, perhaps you could share a tip, a good practical business tip that owners should be mindful of on how to protect and how to prepare actually for the unexpected.
Okay. And I know there's a lot of business owners that listen to your show, Yitzchak, and everybody's business is different. So what I would encourage everybody to do is to take a half an hour. I don't know if you're taking a jog, taking a walk, sitting down, doing yoga, meditating, whatever it is. And it's not a pleasant thought, but maybe think of one or two things, events that can happen that could potentially derail your business. Maybe you're a fish supplier. You're really worried about your inventory, or you're someone else really worried about your receivables, or you're in South Florida and you want to really make sure, I don't just want to rebuild my building, but I have really nice high-end finishes. So come up with something that could potentially cause you a big problem. And you can reach out to, you know, joshua.jordan@citynational.com, or my cell phone is 954-649-9822. And I can talk through those worries with you and make sure that we have a plan in place. So God forbid one of those catastrophes happen, you are ready. And not like one of those business owners that we talked a little earlier in the process, unprepared. So that would be my best advice, is nobody ever likes to think about that worst case scenario, but take the time to do it so you're prepared.
Josh, always great catching up with you.
A pleasure catching up with you as well, Yitzchak.
Thank you. And now we're catching up with Brian San Miguel, commercial banking executive at City National Bank of Florida. Welcome to Mind Your Business.
Very happy to be here.
Brian brings extensive experience leading commercial banking teams and supporting business growth across South Florida. So I'm going to jump in by asking, my understanding is you've had a long career at a large money center bank. What motivated the move for you to join City National Bank of Florida?
Great question. I can tell you it wasn't an easy one. I think whether you've been somewhere 5 years or in my case, 17 years, making the decision to change is something that is probably both stressful and exciting. Having been in the banking industry for 25 years here in South Florida, I certainly already knew a lot about City National Bank.
From clients, believe it or not.
We had a lot of clients that managed relationships with us, but also with City National Bank. And you would hear great things about the bank. Clients liked the way they did business, just to put
Straight
it simply.
Up.
And you also would kind of see them in the market from a competitive standpoint, believe it or not. And whenever you saw City National either going after one of your clients that you were trying to retain, or when you were trying to bring in a new client and you saw that they were also competing for the business, you knew you had to bring your A game. They certainly were out there, and we would run into them all the time. And you want to work for a bank like that. So that made me very comfortable. Once I got to know a lot of the folks here, it was pretty easy to make the decision. And now 8 months in, could not be happier. No regrets, no buyer's remorse.
Now, you know, it's actually so refreshing and fascinating when I interview a guest that has, you know, observed a company from the other side and then joined a winning team. What particular, I guess this is more like a corporate culture type of question. What trait or characteristic do you see throughout the organization here at City National Bank of Florida that in particular really stands out to you?
I would have to say two things. One, that differentiates, I guess I'll do one from, because culture is kind of in everything you do, right?
Yeah.
It is part of everything. But in the way that the bank does business, coming from a much larger bank, a super regional bank, most banks, believe it or not, say that they understand a market and they have local credit decision making. And they have this top-down approach where decisions are made at the top and it's spread all across the entire bank's footprint like peanut butter. And when you're in a market like Florida, like South Florida, that's very dynamic, that's very unique, certainly not the case and not the way to handle things. But it's done often. You have banks that decide they want to exit a segment. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they no longer want to do investment or rental properties, or they want to exit an industry. We no longer want to lend money to contractors. And when you're treating every state or every market the same, it's certainly the wrong approach. And having seen City National for over a decade be very consistent through cycles because they truly understand South Florida. They know the market, they know the community. You're able to be very selective from a client selection standpoint, understand how to properly risk profile people, and you don't have to jump in and out of segments or pull in and out of industries. You're able to be there for the community and stay consistent. On the flip side, in how they treat their people, the bank has a reputation of really taking care of their employees. Like, this is something I knew before I got here, but now again, having been here, I've seen it firsthand. The way that they put on monthly, quarterly, annually recognition events for their employees, the investment, and I'll use the word investment instead of spend money on whether it's social events, holiday events, family events. I've had the opportunity to go to several events that are hosted by the bank that I'm able to bring my children. Mm. And it's a great way for the bank to say thank you to the employee, but also say thank you to their family. And I can tell you it's not cheap, right? It's an investment that they're making, but it's part of the culture and it's something that the employees really appreciate. And now we're starting 2026. It's something I'm looking forward to going into the new year.
Very special. And you know, it's special when a team recognizes that there's a corporate structure, a bank, any business has to generate revenue, but at the same time, we're all human. And when there's that human connection, a personal touch, executives, management team, et cetera, and it comes, like you said, you know, to social events, it's special.
It human nature. You want to feel valued and appreciated. And I think while that's something that a lot of people say they do, it's unfortunate. I don't think very many banks or companies do that today.
Now, Brian, you work closely with small to medium-sized businesses. What's something now that we're in the beginning of 2026, a particular angle that you see that business owners are facing right now?
I would say cautious and conservative growth. I think 2024 and 2025, what we've seen from our clients is they've had great years across many different industries. Definitely a change coming out of the pandemic, 2022, 2023. You saw a lot of what I would call in the banking industry paper movement of just refinancing. 2024 and 2025, a lot of new activity. People are buying that warehouse. They're spending money on new equipment. They're adding to their teams. And they've experienced a tremendous amount of success. We're seeing that going into 2026, they want to continue to ride that momentum. They want to continue to ride that wave. But I think a lot of people now are beginning to see that a correction is probably in the cards. Whether it's a year out, 2 years out is probably unknown. But I think people are beginning to sense that a little bit. Not that we're seeing any signs of it, but they just know it's part of the cycle, the historical cycle of things. So that cautious growth is something that we're hearing as we ask clients, you know, right, what they're anticipating in 2026. I'm not sure if that properly answers the question.
No, it does. Well, now, Brian, as head of commercial banking, what are your ambitions for growing the platform, growing relationships, especially, of course, in South Florida?
So I'm biased when I say this, but the commercial banking segment is probably the best part of banking. That $10 million to $100 million revenue segment, there are just so many great companies that fall into that range. So it's definitely a great place to be. The bank has grown, City National has grown tremendously in 15 years from $2 billion to almost $30 billion. And all of that's been organic growth, growing the clients, client by client, to kind of simplify things. When you're doing that, the reputation that you maintain in the community is extremely important. Mm-hmm. In Miami, I think we do a fantastic job. The brand is known. We've got great market share. In the commercial bank alone, we've added 10 new commercial bankers in 2025. The truth is, seven of those have been in Miami-Dade County. And we do a great job in Miami, and Miami's a very important market. But three of those were in the Palm Beach-Broward area. And I think that's where the real opportunity is. As we go into 2026, we have the opportunity to bring on, and we have four open commercial banker positions. Those will be for Broward and Palm Beach. And we need to continue to execute on our strategy, run that same playbook that has really been successful in Miami, put more people out there because there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in Broward and Palm Beach, being able to reach out to customers in those markets, tell our story, and show them how we can partner with them and help them do business, I think is what has me most excited about 2026. And that's our plan for growth.
I'm speaking with Brian San Miguel, commercial banking executive at City National Bank of Florida. A final question, but an important question.
Right.
You mentioned your segment is 10 million to 100 million. Perhaps you could share an important business tip for businesses that are starting to approach their, let's say, $10 million mark. Going, you know, between 1 million to 5, 5 to 10, it's a different animal. 10 to 100. Perhaps you could share, even if it's a challenge that a business owner should be mindful of, that like growth is great, but there may be a certain point where you're bumping into a ceiling. How could they start to think differently? What do they need to start thinking of in terms of executive positions? It's a pretty broad question, but you're dealing with businesses that have dealt with this. And there are many people that listen to the show that would, you know, are pining for such advice, like how could they get to the next level without losing too much sleep?
So growth is important, right? I think it shouldn't be sacrificed at the sake of profitability. And we've seen clients that focus too much on growing that top line, where they're taking on business for the sake of growing revenue, whether they're taking it from 10 to 30. But as you really kind of drill down, review their financials, sit down with them and show them, their margins went from 20% to 8%. And they're actually less profitable and they're taking on a lot more responsibility and stress. So that strategic growth the right way, I think is something that needs a little bit more careful planning versus just focus on, hey, how can we take on new clients and how can we just boost top line revenue? So that the right growth is really what people should be focused on.
That is such great advice. Such great advice, because people are focused on, you know, let me just get that number up. Let me just make myself more attractive in terms of for the bank, et cetera. Not focusing on, you know, what's really, you know, bringing in the correct revenue, strategic growth, like you said.
Absolutely.
Brian, a pleasure catching up with you.
No, thank you for having me.
And now I'm speaking with Lenya Suarez Rojo. She is the business and personal banking executive at City National Bank of Florida. Lenya, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you as well.
Now, I understand you've been with the bank for a while. And if I may, I understand that you left the bank and you came back a few months ago. You initially joined the bank in 2006. That's 20 years ago. You left a bit, you came back. Can you please share your story?
Of course, I would love to. You know, City National has always felt like a home to me. I began my career here, like you said, in 2006. I learned almost everything that I know up until today about banking. And so it was just a great opportunity to, you know, to come back and be part of a culture that really resonates with my values. And so I'm here again. I did spend time elsewhere, but it just reminded me how good it is to come back home.
You know, it's interesting, right? There's an expression, the grass is greener on the other side, and sometimes people leave, and then they're like, you know, it really was good where I was.
Absolutely, yes. I experienced that myself.
Now, you lead both retail and business banking teams across the branch networks, and you've actually been out there in the field for many years, so you really have a great perspective on the scope of the banking's, you know, arrangements and arena as it relates to businesses and personal banking. An interesting question is with banking being so available on people's smartphones, computers, et cetera. Why is there a need? And if I may, I hope it's not a trick question, but, you know, why does the bank feel it's so important to have brick and mortar local, you know, centers out there in different communities?
I appreciate the question. Brick and mortar, and listen, banking relationships, it's all about trust. And there is a sense of trustworthiness that takes place when our clients drive by and see our brick and mortar. It's just a sense of belonging to the community, a trust. We are in a trust business. And so therefore, you know, we think that as we continue to evolve in technology, relationship will always be the core of what we do in our business. And therefore, I think, you know, in our footprint where we have, you know, deep roots, we think that in key markets as well, we think that it's always a great idea to have a representation as part of the branding in our brick and mortar.
Now, you oversee both business and personal banking. What are customers experiencing today that maybe they didn't see 5 or 10 years ago that they should be aware of? And of course, something that the bank provides solutions for.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to continue to keep a balance with growing and maintaining, you know, the white glove service, the client experience. However, I would say that what I'm finding is that over the years, as banking has evolved, clients expect more speed, you know, convenience, things that perhaps, you know, a couple years ago would take a couple of days. Now, 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 5 minutes.
Seems like a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. it's just speed. And so but I think the idea and what we like to do here in City National is, you know, have avenues of how clients like to be serviced. If the client would like to enjoy their banking by things being at a certain speed, then we can provide it that way. If what they enjoy is coming in and enjoying a cup of coffee and talking to our bankers, then we also can service them that route.
Now, Mike McIntyre said it's okay for me to ask this question. So, okay.
Oh boy.
He said, you've overseen hiring dozens of people over the last few months. Perhaps if it's okay to share, what are some of the future plans of City National Bank?
Well, first, I would, if you don't mind, I would love to answer, you know, two questions there. One, I love getting in front of people and meeting, you know, what they're thinking, how they see the economy, how they see the market, what some opinions vary, right? Mm-hmm. And so I constantly love meeting individuals and interviewing and understanding where their growth, their trajectory, and so on, right? For me, a combination of finding talent that is curious enough and resilient about, you know, the industry that we're in is just so incredible and fascinating to learn from these individuals. That's one. And second, I think the growth that City National really portrays is, you know, we want to be in key markets. We want to service our clients, you know, as we continue to grow and not lose the relationship that we have built over the years. Acquiring new clients while not servicing the ones that we have in-house, it's not ideal. And so finding the balance of growing, bringing in new clients, while also maintaining the clients that got us here, is key for us. But huge plans for City National. We happen to be in an incredible market. South Florida is unique when you look at the rest of what's happening out there. And so we are in a very niche, and our branding has been around for 80 years. And so I think we are in a great position to grow and experience, you know, growth in Tampa and other areas that we want to oversee.
Now, you used a very interesting word in looking for talent. You're looking for people that are curious. And it's a great perspective. Perhaps you could just share on that. Some people might even get nervous. Some leaders might get nervous from that. Someone is too curious, let's get with the program. Not realizing that curious is really a trait that allows one to think out of the box.
Absolutely. Yeah. For us, being curious means that you'd like to learn more, that you want to challenge the status quo. And that's where the growth happens for individuals and for the company itself, right? And so for me, when I find the talent that's resilient and curious, it's a slam dunk.
Amazing. We're speaking with Lenya Suarez Rojo, business and personal banking executive at City National Bank. Before I let you go, what's one or two traits that you look for? Now, we actually touched it as well. We touched on it previously, but just some additional traits that you look for when you're looking to attract top talent.
I would say grit. I would say grit. I would say passionate. I think those two things really combine and make whole of what City National is all about. Again, it's hard to find the right attitude. Skill set, it's always, you know, you can teach it. And throughout the years, you become better at the craft. But passionate and wanting to do more than what you have experienced, it's important for us.
Amazing. Continued success, Lenya.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time.
And now I have the opportunity to catch up with Kevin Milliff, Real Estate Banking Director at City National Bank of Florida. Kevin works closely with business owners on their real estate financing and planning to support long-term growth. Kevin, welcome to Mind Your Business.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Kevin, you work with clients on some of their biggest financial decisions. I mean, let's face it, when a company decides that they are getting real estate and they're putting their business, you know, it's not just a lease, not just a rental, they're taking on real estate. You know, that's a big decision. Very, very big decision. Cash flow. But now I turn to you, Kevin. What was the aha moment that like brought you into commercial real estate?
You know, one of the things that was when I was going through school and growing up, I didn't fully know that jobs like mine even existed. And, you know, having the opportunity and, you know, when I got my eyes open to seeing how banks finance commercial real estate, I love the tangible nature of real estate. You know, that's something that, you know, when you're in school and you're looking through books and, you know, subjects this or that. What I love about being part about real estate is you touch it every day in your life. You know, you'll be driving down the street, you see a store, you see an apartment building. You know, I have the luxury and the privilege of being part of this community and putting my imprint on the community by having a part in financing these projects. You know, a lot of what we do, you know, we build apartment buildings that people can live. We help make that come true by providing the capital, providing the financing for it. You know, the shops that people are buying their groceries at, the entertainment centers, the restaurants where they're eating at. You know, we play a huge part in helping that come together from the financing perspective. And, you know, it's so nice. I'll be driving with my kids and driving with my family, and you can drive by. And after a certain amount of time in a market, you know, we'll drive and said, you know, I had a part of that. You know, I did that. And I'll tell a story about something about, you know, when that happened. It's that tangible nature that I just love. And these buildings last decades.
Now, coming back to the way we opened this this segment, for a small to medium-sized business, many of them do not start off with real estate. It's a dream. Some entrepreneur out there, it's taking a big risk, and they have a vision for it, and they're starting to grow and grow. And then there comes that point where, like, hey, maybe I should buy a property. Maybe I should also own it. But then, of course, comes, you know, major expenses. But at the same time, they own something. Perhaps you could walk us through the mind of a, you know, entrepreneur, a small to medium-sized business, where it gets to that point where they should really be thinking, maybe I should own the property that I run my business out of.
So, you know, there are a couple of things. We deal with the owner occupants who are operating those businesses. And then we also deal with the investors that are doing investment real estate. So, you know, I think it's two different aspects. On the first side, when you own your business and you're looking for a place, you know, one of the things I've seen, and we get the opportunity to work with lots of businesses, and me specifically, the ones that own their real estate, mm-hmm. I've never met one that has regretted owning the real estate where their business operates. A lot of times they have regrets from real estate they didn't buy, but when you're owning a business, and especially if it's a service business, mm-hmm. You lock in a lot of your costs and expenses from the real estate perspective. You know, one of the things that we've seen here, especially with restaurants, but you look at these neighborhoods in Miami where rents have gone completely out of control, you know, expenses have gone out of control. These businesses find it hard to operate with those escalating costs. And so many of their businesses, they're in a location, they have a strong client base. Mm-hmm. And if they don't lock down that location, it's so hard to move and keep your client base with you. And so, you know, once again, I play a different role in that from the bank, but in all the business owners that I meet, there's a stability for that business that owning the real estate, and they also look at it from a generational perspective.
Right.
From that, it's part of that. It helps the business while they're there, but it's a generational aspect where they can use the real estate, they can pass it on to family. If the business wants to stay intact and they want to pass the business on to family, it helps and keeps that generational aspect of a family business.
And Kevin, you brought up something also that's like, it's one of those factors that you look back and like, no one has ever complained or has, you know, looked back and said, oh man, I should not have purchased that property. That's a real, but yeah. And you deal with hundreds, if not thousands, of business owners, and they all look back like that was a great move I made.
Yeah. You know, and listen, we are so blessed to be in Florida, you know, in a market where you've seen continued population growth, values just continue to appreciate. There are always bumps in the road. You know, the values never completely go up in perpetuity. There are bumps in the road. But if you look in Florida at any sort of long period of time from point A to point B, we're lucky enough to be in a market that the values have always been higher over that longer period of time. And that's what these business owners have looked at. And they've all been very, very happy, typically, that they've owned their real estate.
Now, this is actually an important question for you, Kevin. When someone is embarking on commercial real estate, whether it's an owner-occupied deal or investors, a typical deal can take between 60, 90 days, on a good day, so to speak.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can go longer?
No, it's typically, no. It's
typically 2 to 3 months.
1 to 3 months.
Yes.
No.
Okay. First of all, that's a testament to the bank.
Yeah. We work hard. We have a great process in place.
You don't let it schlep out.
No, not at all.
So now my question is for someone who's not familiar with this, what is something that you could, like a tip you could, like that we could just make them think about now? Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, if you're thinking about buying real estate for your business or as an investor, and it's a great move, mm-hmm. but what's something keep in mind that can make the process a little easier?
You know, a lot of it is who you surround yourself with. So if you start having that inkling that I may want to buy a property, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that we want to do is we want to keep in touch with our clients, keep in touch with our friends, and just have that constant communication. So you get that call, you know, maybe an afternoon or maybe on a weekend, you know, hey, I'm thinking of this, or I drove by a warehouse and interested in this, you know, what would it take? What would it cost, or how much would it be? Start laying the groundwork early. Start creating a relationship with a bank. Because to your point about timing, a lot of times when you find opportunities mm-hmm. to get something at the right price that you need to jump on it to close quickly, you want to have some of those things in place. So one of the things we tell our clients, start that relationship. You may not have a credit need. You may not need a loan right now, but start that relationship, because when you do need it, you don't want to then start having to build that relationship. You want to have it in place. You want to have your banker that's going to be there for you. And immediately when you find your property, when you find your investment that you want to do for your business or for, you know, your commercial real estate investment, you're going to have someone there who's ready to go and is familiar with you, understands your business, understands your business plan.
You know, it's such an important point, because whether it's banking relationships or other relationships, the leadership of a small business is busy, focused on their business and servicing their customers day in and day out. But yet, especially if they're about to purchase real estate, that's a big move, and there are going to be a number of key players that they're going to need to communicate with, and Absolutely. They have to win their trust, and there has to be a deep relationship. So perhaps we could even hold on to that point that you just shared, the importance, talk with your banker regularly, talk with whoever, CPA, your key relationships have to really know what's going on, and your you have attorneys. To be in touch with them regularly, especially if you're going to make such a big move for commercial real estate.
Absolutely. Your attorneys as well, right? Attorneys. You're going to have your partners. You know, if you have business partners, make sure you're on the same page with it. You know, understand, you know, how much investment are you going to put down? What's your down payment going to be? You know, the more sort of variables you can identify and finalize earlier in the process, the much better your execution gets.
Now, is there any type of framework? Now, again, you know, there's so many variables in running a business, but is there any type of framework that you would say from your extensive experience in commercial real estate of when a business, an owner-occupied, you know, what becomes an owner-occupied business, when a business should be thinking, say, you know what, it's time that I own my own real estate?
You know, that's such an individual decision.
Okay.
You know, it depends, you know, certain businesses, if they don't have the cash flow to support right. it from a so long-term basis, you know, the investment, but really it's consistently speaking with your banker, consistently understanding with your attorneys. And, you know, if you want to be in your business, if you want to be in your location long-term, if you like where you're at, you know, my opinion is that you should really think about investing in that location long-term for the long-term stability of your business.
Now, I hope it's okay. I could, you know, just to have someone of your experience, you know, discussing this.
You can ask anything you want.
Okay, fantastic. Here goes. No, okay. You said, does a business that owns its own real estate, have you found that it's a more attractive business when an owner wants to sell, if they own their own real estate as opposed to if they're leasing?
You know, several of our clients that we do, we are involved in private equity transactions. And you're actually going to get to meet with one of my partners here at the bank, Roel Yannis, who runs our capital markets group. And he can definitely expand on this. But what I found is, you know, a lot of private equity groups that are buying these businesses, rolling up these groups of different businesses, having the real estate value. There are two aspects. Mm-hmm. One, the business owner can just sell the business to one of these private equity groups, can hold the real estate themselves in a rental arrangement, so they can get a capital right. event from selling the business, and then have the residual income coming in place from the lease income. But there's also value that these private equity firms, when they pull the business and buy the business,
right.
they sell the real estate as well, because they can sell it at a low cap rate and get a good return of capital on that as well. So Yes, I don't think it hurts them in any way to sell the business.
It's an advantage.
It's an advantage.
Kevin, before I let you go, can you please share a great tip as it relates to real estate? That it's an open-ended question.
It is an open-ended question. You know, I'll tell you, I heard a quote the other day. It kind of plays with real estate, but business, but more life generally, if that's okay. You know, over New Year's, and you know, I always try to think about what I can do better in the next year and how I can continue to grow. And you know, one of the quotes that stuck with me was, "The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today or tomorrow." I think that's just, you've never missed the boat on anything. You know, even where values are today for businesses, you know, where we look at these things for real estate, you know, so many times we look at, you know, real estate and say, oh, I wish I would have bought back then. I wish I would have done it. You know, I missed the boat. I think what we've learned is if you're in the right market, if you have the right business, you're doing well, you have the right people, it's still a great time to invest in real estate.
Kevin, it was great catching up with you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now I have the opportunity of catching up with Raul Yanes, Capital Markets Managing Director at BCI. Now, we've been speaking with many executives at City National Bank of Florida. What's the relationship between BCI and City National Bank of
Florida? Perfect. Well, thank you for having me today.
Jesus.
Just tell our story. So BCI Financial Group is our parent company here at City National Bank here in the U.S. So we sit in the actual intersection of our parent and our actual subsidiary here, City National Bank here in Florida. So the capital markets division is basically an exploit for our parent having a more entry here of true capital markets investment banking here in the U.S. So it's a complementary business for City National and our actual parent. Being a $100 billion global bank, mm-hmm. where the office is throughout actually South America, Shanghai in the U.S., where they purchased the bank, it's a great foothold. Let's take it as almost as a global branding for our actual platform.
Now, what does capital markets mean in practical terms for business owners who are scaling?
Absolutely. So capital markets, everyone uses that pretty loosely.
Yeah.
It's raising capital. Right at the end of the day, it's different forms of capital. If it's raising equity for clients, if it's raising traditional debt for clients, and different actually variations of that form. So as businesses think about their capital and their businesses, is really looking at in two prongs. One is when they're raising money, it's going to equity partners. But layering that with traditional debt, could be bank financing, could be the bond markets, could be friends and family, could be private credit, which is the new spin of 2025.
Now, when businesses think about capital and raising capital, what's perhaps a something that is just misunderstood or something that they frequently overlook?
I would say things where they overlook is that how much capital they actually need to raise. Right? I think that's the biggest component, right? When you learn both equity capital and debt capital, right? How much do you need of both, right? Depends where the phase of their business is. Everyone thinks they have to raise $500 million, you know, on day one, right? It's really looking at like what their business strategy
is. Questions how many ping years. Pong tables they want to
exactly,
get.
Exactly, or potential pickleball courts these days. But it's really understanding their business, their industry, right? And where they want to be over the next several years, right? So it's runway capital, right? Early seed companies focus on working with venture capital firms, right? Where they have a business plan. They may not be on a break-even cash flow basis, but they need a lot of runway to grow to hit a critical mass, right? Then you have that mid-stage companies where it's where they've been operating for years, but they're growing over the next several years, right? So that's where layered understanding where their growth plans are coming to our platform, our bank, to really understand that. We try to sit with clients and really provide them more at an advisory approach and sit down what their true needs are versus just telling them this is what they need, but really looking at really what the long growth approach is for them.
Now, interesting question. There are many people that will know the answer to this, but there are people that won't. Can you please explain the difference between equity capital and debt capital?
Absolutely. So debt is just traditional balance sheet leverage coming from the private credit space, coming from a bank. Mm-hmm. It's basically a form of some type of loan. And on the equity side, equity capital markets is really going to a partner, friends and family, a family office, a venture capital firm, and providing you real capital for your business. But it's basically as a partner along with you in your actual business.
Now, Raul, an interesting question, you know, for an entrepreneur, someone who's starting out, who has this big plan and like, right, I know I need to raise $25 million because I need to have a stunning office on the 87th floor of wherever it's right. Okay. What is a tip that you could possibly share for even someone starting out who has a big vision and is pumped and is very, very passionate about what they have in mind, but at the same time, like, you know, before you borrow all that money, you're going to put, and you know, you're borrowing and you know, there's interest attached to it. What's something they should be mindful of that like, all right, you know, like, let me just keep this, you know, kind of ground them a little bit, keep them down to earth.
Absolutely. I would say sometimes start slow is good. And really understanding what your business plans are, but in your sector that you're going after, right? Who are your competitor sets to start there before going and getting leverage? It may be a higher barrier entry
okay.
market, right? But refocusing on if they have a niche component is really developing those business plans and have a few case studies that you have done or you have done in your past that have that particular event that allow you to in market to raise capital.
Now, let's talk about the company that's around in 5 years, 10 years. Talk about the type of maybe capital strategy that they should have in mind as they're looking to really, you know, strengthen the business and have it exist for many years to come.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of business owners go through that, right? There's a true evolution of your business when you wanted to scale it after 5 years, usually, right? Right. And they have bigger visions and how big right. they want to get, if they want to get into new product sets, new segments, right? Right? And that's where they either bring along expertise or really, really put firepower on their business to really grow that. And the ways to really consider that is looking at really what your capital needs are. And that's a wide statement, right? But look at the next 3 to 5 years and what that looks like. Again, you got to think about macro environments.
Right.
You got to think about micro environments. You can look at what the potential headwinds are, right? So there's a lot of factors that really, really go into that. But based on along the capital strategy is really laying out, again, what are the next 6, 12, 18 months look like? I think a lot of lenders, regards if it's private credit, bank leverage, insurance companies, they really focus on the fundamentals of your business, right? They look at the senior management team. Mm-hmm. They look at new actual management teams. They look at the actual peer sets. They look at the opportunity sets in their market and where they're heading. So as they're putting together a capital strategy, right, it's looking at, are they putting leverage on day one? Are they able to structure different leverage points that allow them to access money later on? So if I'm a business owner today, depending on what industry I'm in and macro headwinds, I would look at duration risk. Sometimes you have bank capital, for example, private credit capital, it's on a one or two year basis. When we talk to our clients within the financial sponsor space, the difference us between others, we look at duration is key. Pricing is one thing,
right.
But duration is key. If you have execution of capital sitting there over the next several years and as a bank partner with them or a private credit partner, it allows them to scale and grow. So really hitting those actual returns makes sense, but also looking at the development of their business over the next 18 to 24 months.
Now, here's just an interesting question. And now we know that, you know, there are many different variables in running a business. But is there somewhat of a rule of thumb when a business should be thinking about owning their own real estate as opposed to long-term lease, rental, et cetera?
I think it goes both ways. I think, first of all, get a good CFO. That's always important. Get a good tax accounting firm. Pretty key, because I think that component of owning your own real estate depends on the mass of your business, where you could basically operate. It's almost a tax write-off, right? From that perspective,
right.
But also operating your real estate is also another headache, right? Comes to there versus really leasing right. and right. dealing with a potential landlord. Right. And if there's tenant improvements and leasing commissions, all that does play into a factor. I mean, we have seen clients that buy their own business. I would say, depends what type of business. Maybe you want to buy it. Maybe you don't want to buy your own office, but maybe you want to buy your own, you know, industrial property, right? As you operate there, you know, if you want to buy, sometimes, you know, your actual, I would say, machinery, equipment, things like that are quite important for the business model. So it really just goes back to what the business is and their stages and what good CFO you have.
You know, here's just an interesting question. We're heading into 2026. So really, if I may, I'm going to actually break this up into two questions. What are some of the deals you're seeing now? But then also I got to ask you, what's like the biggest deal, either from a price point or the most complex deal that you've ever worked on?
Absolutely. So I would the industry we're focused on is financial sponsors. That's our capital markets platform. That's why, right? It's private equity, it's private credit, it's the large alternative asset managers. Our focus is focused on the missing middle. Okay. These clients are really focused on 5 billion to about 50 billion in range. Those banks, those clients are not banked by the largest JP Morgans, Goldman Sachs. Their facilities or their deal sizes are too small for them. So we've hired 16 investment bankers from those banks that focus on this missing middle. It's a $1 trillion market that we really focused on. The deals we see going forward are very strong. Everyone has the headwinds about, again, private credit, right? Private credit is a $1.3 trillion market. So when we talk about certain blips, they're small blips. It's a very widespread market. So we try to appeal to the folks across three main verticals, right? So our financial sponsors, we want to be that holistic view for our clients, where is their financial sponsors, they've raised $5 billion of capital. They need portfolio financing. We're providing to them. We're providing them corporate financing. We can provide to them. We want to provide them fund level finance. We can. And throughout those level sets, we're doing fund finance, which is a capital call lending against the LPs through equity financing on their NAVPs, providing management fee facilities. And then when we work with private credit firms, besides those products, we're entering the spaces where we have very strong investment bankers that have bond trading background, asset back trading, leverage finance background, where we're doing, for example, CLO equity, CLO debt financing as well. Actual securitization financing. We're doing MSR financing. We're doing ABS financing. So it's in this market where, again, your Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, great banks, but some of these clients just don't fit that profile. We fit that profile. We're focused on the actual missing middle. So as we enter 2026 today, right, we're seeing the continuous growth of our sector of financial sponsors, right? So we do see as headwinds, this market will be over $20 trillion market over the next several years. And the key part, we have done it as our platform for BCI and also City National, is create strategic partnerships with the private credit side of the business. That's the next growth of the actual industry itself, right? It's not just focused on, can a bank compete versus a private credit? We should be being a complement partner to our clients.
But then, Raul, I can't let you sneak out of this one. What's like the biggest deal that you worked on, whether it's, you know, dollar value or complexity?
I would say I would look at that in two different pockets. I would say first, the largest deal I've ever done in my career has been over $1 billion. Very, very, very complex. Nothing sees it to a sovereign wealth fund, pension fund out of the actual Middle East. So we did a huge equity financing when I worked at an investment bank back in my actual earlier career. But again, those are diamond and a dozen, right? So what we've created here is that the bank historically, we're writing the largest checks for the entire global bank, right? Our deals reference anywhere from 50 million to 350 million. Our typical deals as we started, we were a new business, right? Within the US, right? So who's BCI, right? It's telling the story that we've been telling here and really going out to the road and having our clients tell those stories, right? And since we started the platform, we've done over $2 billion committed financing over the last 18 months. And that's really focused on our specialty of reducing missing middle financial sponsors. And the complexity of our deals are actually all over the place. But what we do well for our clients is really creating creative solutions. That's what we lead with. We could do the actual simple things, but we do best for our clients is that if you've been trying to figure something out and you haven't figured it out, come to us. Because the same offerings you would get from a JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, we have that actual intelligence within our own platform because we've hired the best people in the market to come here to build that. And by doing that, we have able to grow that those to over $2 billion, which includes, for example, one of the hardest products is to do CMBS financing, right? Because there are a lot of regulatory rules. Yeah. And where are the actual workarounds? So we've created one or two solutions in the market that has allowed us to do a couple of those deals last year. For example, another one, we do a lot of equity financing. So we closed a $150 million transaction towards end of this year. It's one of the largest transactions in the NAV space within that missing middle that we talked about. And we also did it with a with one of our strategic partners on the private credit side. So with that, we hear about these private partnerships, Citi and Ares and Apollo and Ares and all those things. We're working with those similar clients like that and creating those partnerships. So we worked on a cross-border transaction that was in the US and also in Europe, that one of our clients is basically buying limited partnerships into real estate companies in across multiple countries. So to looking at different, again, cross-border regulatory environments, underwriting each of these individual companies separately and creating valuations against what these LPs are worth. The valuation of the LPs was worth about $3.5 billion. So our equity financing that we did on the pro was about $1.5 billion. We lend around $150 million, but bringing also private credit, and we got this done at 12:31 at 5 p.m.
By the way, I just have to get this in, Raul. It's refreshing to speak with someone that's so passionate and loves what they do. Because I mean, speaking with you, there's some of the things you're sharing that are like people would just run to the hills. Like, this is way too complicated. Yeah. Like, you seem to embrace it.
We do, but we're not cheap while we actually do it.
Well,
but,
I mean, but it's too worth compensated for your work.
Yeah, it is. And it's the time that we put in where the clients are really understanding what their actual needs are. And we're sitting across the table to some of the largest asset managers that they've gone to their own investment banks that they still can't figure it out. And we figure it out for them. So it allows us to have repeat clients. Our business is built based on word of mouth. And that's how we build our business from day one. So we want to be that capital markets platform for financial sponsors in the missing middle out there in the market.
Raul Yanes, Capital Markets Managing Director at BCI, of course, City National Bank of Florida. It was a pleasure catching up with you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
And now we're catching up with Mike McIntyre. Michael McIntyre. Mike, is okay?
Mike is fine. It's all right. Great to see you.
Chief Banking Officer at City National Bank of Florida. Thank you. So, Mike, what are we talking about today?
Well, Itzhak, it's great to have you here in South Florida in early January. It's January 8th. We have a big game tonight. We're the bank for the University of Miami. They're in the semifinals tonight. And if they win, they get a home game back here in South Florida on January 19th. So we're rooting for the Canes tonight. And hopefully we get a nice win. And then in about 10 days or so, we'll have the championship game here in Miami.
That's big. That's like, how long has the bank been with the university?
We've been a sponsor now for several years. The university is celebrating their 100th anniversary actually this year. And so we've had quite a few events with them throughout the academic year and kicked off earlier in the football season in late August. And, we're reaching the culmination now of the college football season and the college championship. And so we're really excited to be a partner of the U. It's been a great organization to be aligned with. And candidly, the best part that I enjoy about being part of the U is to talk to the kids, right? You can talk to the students. And I've been kidding some of the students that are on the football team that have been reaching out to me for internships. And I say, fellas, you got a couple of big games ahead of you. Why don't we talk after your season? I promise you, I'm not
Win the games
and then come back to me and I'll come and see you guys in February. And so I've talked to the couple of the associate directors on the athletic side, say, hey, tell the kids good luck, and I'll see them in February after they hopefully pull out a championship.
Now, let's hold on to that for a second. Over the years, and you're a veteran of the industry, talk about some kid that you saw on the soccer field, on the football field, and then 10 years later, they're doing good in business. They're successful. Like, you were once a little kid, and then...
Yitzhak, when I used to live up in New York, I was an adjunct professor for St. Francis College in downtown Brooklyn. Right. And at the time, we were part of the NEC, the Northeast Conference. And over the years, I taught quite a few students that were on the water polo team or the soccer team. And you fast forward 10, 15, 20 years, a couple of them are country managers at BlackRock or their law firm graduates. BlackRock. Yeah, or their law firm graduates. And, they trace their roots to, water polo or playing soccer, in undergrad years. And 10, 15, 20 years later, they're in these great positions. Now, unfortunately, I was a mathlete. So I wasn't really good at playing sports. I was really good at doing, calculations and what have you. And so, I never had a chance to really enjoy athletics, but, I had an opportunity to at least learn some good practices from watching these kids play.
Mike, from the business side, What are you seeing now? What's your pulse on the year ahead?
Yeah. So, I mean, you've seen a slight sea change at the Fed. You've seen rate reductions start to be rolled out beginning late last year. And we've seen some reductions in the third and fourth quarter of 2025. And, you know, some of the projections suggest that we may see further rate reductions in 2026. That just gives oxygen to businesses, right? If you have companies that are borrowing on the variable side, typically those rates are tied to prime or to other short-term indices. And so when the central banks are cutting short-term rates, that's very accretive to borrowing costs. It typically lowers your borrowing costs. And so we're seeing some slight relief, you know, in that regard. You know, we're seeing some commodity prices come down, particularly gas, right? Gas obviously is a core contributor to much of the economy. And, you know, as oil continues to come down, you know, that is also a tailwind, you know, to not only to the business industry, but to the consumer as well.
Now, City National Bank of Florida is an extremely strong presence in Florida, South Florida in particular. But I mean, you attract clients from wherever they reach out. And in particular, there happens to be a trend now from businesses in the Northeast to come to South Florida. Perhaps you could talk about that.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past, right? You know, we call it the six borough strategy, but in reverse, right? So our key markets are Miami, Broward, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, Orlando, and Tampa. Those are our five core markets here in Florida. That sixth one being the Northeast, right? Because you have this tremendous connectivity between the Northeast and the South. You know, between Palm Beach Airport and Lauderdale and Miami, you know, you're talking about a couple hundred flights a week, you know, probably moving 30 to 40,000 people, you know, each week up and down the coast. You know, as I've shared in the past, the biggest challenge that we have here is the space to build the types of buildings that our clients need, whether it be warehouse space or distribution space or office space. You know, the state continues to see exponential growth, and keeping up with that need of demand from new entrants into the state, it remains an ongoing challenge. You know, this is a very business-friendly state. This is a state, you know, where you're seeing more and more migration, both on the individual side as well as on the business side, and that trend's going to continue.
Mike, what is something that a business that is in the Northeast presently and is eyeing South Florida, what's perhaps one or two points that they should be mindful of when they're thinking of that transition?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, self-serving, they need to have a local bank. They need to have a local bank that's based down here that knows the communities, that knows the industries, and candidly could serve as an advisor. I mean, I think one of the things that we do here is, you know, we're one of the preeminent commercial private banks. So we take care of our clients on their individual needs as well as on their business needs. And, you know, we have a great CEO in George Gonzalez, who has served as our CEO for more than 15 years, right? He brings tremendous credibility and branding and presence for our organization throughout the state. But more importantly, you know, we have leaders that you've met recently, you know, that are new to the organization, that run our commercial bank, that run our commercial real estate business, that run our consumer and our business bank. You know, these are folks that have been in large organizations throughout the state that have chosen to come here because, again, recognizing that, you know, we are a special place. And as I've said to you for many, many years now, you know, we are in the people business, right? If somebody wants to just have a transaction relationship, there are plenty of large institutions that will take great care of them. But if somebody really truly values, and to your point about, you know, making a move, you know, is a huge emotional decision. Right, to move from one place to another or from one state to another is one I feel is not really transactional, it's more emotional. You know, the best practice in my view in those types of emotional events is to have somebody whom you trust and can give you some great advice and counsel.
Before I let you go, a tip on leadership that you've observed from your CEO, George Gonzalez.
Start your day early, end your day late. But Kenley, be available. Be available for your people. Be available for your community. Be available for your clients. You know, I've learned from my boss that you know, he does a great job in not only being a great family person for his own family, but truly balancing the family that is here at our bank. You know, this is a family organization. You've heard from others of late, you know, how much we reinvest into our people, not only to our employees, but to our employees' families, whether it be through, you know, great benefits or through recognition events that we do for our employees and their families. what I've observed here now, essentially in my first year, is how unique that is in our industry. And it starts at the top. And so I've always said that you can learn a lot by just listening or watching. And in my interactions with my CEO, whom I report to, I do a lot of listening and do a lot of learning, hopefully.
Mike, always good to catch you.
Great to see you. Thanks.
Amazing. What an incredible episode of Mind Your Business, recorded live at the headquarters of City National Bank in Coral Gables, Florida. Have any comments? Please feel free to leave it in the comment section below and join me for future episodes of Mind Your Business.